All right. Welcome to another week of the Brocast Recruiting Special. I'm Brandon Huffman with Rivals.com along with Tracy McDonald of Brewer Report Online. And Tracy, after the Memorial Day weekend, no official visits held by UCLA, but some visits coming up this week. Elite 11 finals are in Southern California. UCLA will know by the time the Elite 11 starts on Friday where Dane Weber is going to be playing his college football. Visitors that were supposed to visit this weekend having to push it back because of state track. A lot going on for a weekend that was relatively quiet.
Yeah. Even though the visitor list may not be as robust as last week, there's definitely no shortage of information leading up to this whole weekend.
I think one of the big things, obviously, that UCLA fans have been wondering is what is going to happen at the quarterback position. And before we preview who's coming in for a visit, I believe it's Thursday, the 28th, UCLA will know. Is Dane Weber going to Cincinnati? I doubt it. Is he going to UCLA? Also potentially doubtful. Or is he going to Cal? But then that also coincides with the Elite 11 finals beginning Friday, where Brady Edmonds, who's at Huntington Beach, who UCLA is still recruiting, and then Colton Nussmeier, also coming up from the state of Texas for this weekend. So while they will know where Dane Weber's going, whether he's staying in Southern California, going to the Bay, whether they need to fully pivot to Brady Edmonds or Colton Nussmeier or somebody else, the Dane Weber search, follow, whatever you want to call it, will be solved by Thursday night. What is the latest that you're hearing on Dane Weber?
Right now it's, you know, everybody's still kind of, as far as the staffs go, right, they're still kind of waiting like everybody else, from what I've gathered. I imagine, by Thursday, it seems like he's the kind of kid who, won't be leaving them in the dark going into that decision. So, I imagine that they'll know for sure, before then. But yeah, I mean, you know, the one good thing about this staff that, whether it be the quarterback position, defensive back, receiver, they definitely don't put all their eggs in one basket. They always have a plan B, it seems like. And in this case, looks like they've got a plan B or a plan C. And it'll also be nice to, you know, see all three quarterbacks, Dane Weber, Brady Edmonds, Colton Nussmeier, all in the same environment, all throwing, doing the same drills and everything like that. In my case, watching Colton Nussmeier for the first time. So, it's definitely going to be a very interesting decision going into that that Friday start to the Elite 11.
I'm trying to remember the last time that a UCLA quarterback commit was in the Elite 11, whether it was a regional or a final. You can't really count Dante Moore because at that point he was leaning towards Oregon. In subsequent years, they, you know, didn't have a quarterback. I mean, I'm sure there is somebody more recent, but for whatever reason, it feels like Dorian Thompson-Robinson was the last quarterback who went to the Elite 11 finals as a UCLA commit. There's probably somebody in there as well, but you know, that's kind of been one of the fascinating things too, is that, you know, in years past, UCLA would have a quarterback commit that wouldn't even sniff the finals. You know, obviously they had Madden Yamaliava a couple years ago, but he did not do a regional, so I don't think he was eligible to go to the Elite 11 because he didn't do a regional. Obviously, Nico was an Elite 11 finalist, but was a Tennessee commit at the time and then ended up not going. But it's been a while since UCLA has had a recruit or a quarterback that they were really targeting in the Elite 11. And now they potentially, you know, could have a commit as late as Thursday night, or they could have a couple others. I think it obviously shows the kind of the extent of UCLA quarterback recruiting and being in the mix for a little bit more the higher rated quarterbacks as opposed to years where they weren't. So that's kind of an intriguing storyline. But like you said, getting all three of those guys who all kind of come in different shapes and sizes and different styles of quarterbacks, all there doing the same structure drills, the same pro day throws, the same 7-on-7. It's not like one drill may be suited towards one guy and only to that guy. All three of these guys have to do the exact same drill. So you're going to get a decent gauge of, you know, at least in a t-shirt and short setting based on this weekend. But a lot of storylines obviously there with Dane Weber making his decision on Thursday night, and then Brady Edmonds, Colton Nussmeier there as well. But then that leads into the weekend. And the weekend, well, the Elite 11 finals will be going on at MiraCosta High School up the road, and maybe not just at Southern California, not just in Westwood, as you wrote last week, with what goes on during an official visit. UCLA will be hosting a number of official visitors. One had to move his visit back. We'll touch on him in a bit, in Kingston Selafi, but five official visitors set to come this coming weekend. You've gotten a chance to talk to a couple of them. You've got four guys on offense and a kicker. You got wide receiver Matthew Gregory, tight end Christian Hanshaw, offensive tackle Weston Hicks from the uncommitted ranks on the offensive side, Gabriel Gorion, the number one kicker in the country out of Westlake High School. And then the lone commit set to come is Rob Larson out of Folsom. But a big weekend with Matthew Gregory coming in. Obviously, you know, Christian Hanshaw was a later addition to the group, but Matthew Gregory, with UCLA's receiving recruiting, getting him to come visit, make that top five, was pretty significant.
Yeah, you know, I believe it was May 11th, Steve Wiltbong's report came out that, you know, UCLA was suddenly not only in the mix, but was getting an official. And going back to what I said earlier about the staff, you know, not just relying on the targets they had set out. I mean, you think, they've also got somebody like, you know, Blake Wong still on the board, and he's not visiting until, you know, next month. So, you know, and in Blake Wong's case, another four-star kid. So, yeah, you know, with Gregory, he's a Rivals 300 recruit, ranked 226th overall. He's even higher in the Rivals industry rank in the top 100. So, you know, definitely big time recruit. He's also got Nebraska, LSU, Virginia Tech in there, and I believe he's told Steve Wiltbong that all four schools right now are kind of equal to him. And the thing that stood out about UCLA is basically, you know, just the energy of this staff, and something we've definitely heard from multiple recruits. So, you know, for them to quickly get in there and get a kid who necessarily wasn't on the radar, at least not on our radar, to take a visit, you know, that's a pretty nice development for them.
We mentioned Kingston Selafi was supposed to be taking his official visit. You talked to him this week. Obviously, being one of the top 100 meter runners in the state, has made his weekend busy with the state track championships coming up this weekend in Clovis at Buchanan High School. He will be visiting on June 5th, which is shaping up to be a decent weekend. Double-figure visitors on the 5th, and then double-figure visitors on the 19th. What will be interesting is, you know, we're seeing guys that are scheduling visits and then deciding to commit before they take any of their visits. In looking at this list for the 5th, a couple of names to kind of keep in mind. We already took a couple guys off. Bryant Robinson was one of the more recent ones that we took off that visit list. If Dane Weber does not pick UCLA, I would imagine that he will not visit on June 19th, on that June 5th weekend. Right now, Selafi's expected to visit that weekend. Giovanni Hodge, who's committed to Cal, is still planning to visit that weekend, but also maybe he's planning to visit Stanford. Could he flip before then? That'll be interesting. Thurman Lyles already had his visit pushed back. But with Selafi, you know, nothing to worry about. He's switching his visit because of state. But that also leads into one of the newer offers that UCLA made in the 2027 class. Chase Young out of De La Salle. Three corners already committed. Two safeties already committed. Chase Young was offered last week. Said that the Bruins offered him as a DB. But he's an intriguing player. He's the number one 110-meter hurdler in the state of California. He won the CIF North Coast Section 110. Was second in the 300-meter hurdles, and then helped De La Salle win the CIF NCS team title. He will be doing track this weekend, but he said he's working on scheduling his official visit. And obviously with De La Salle, you got Deuce Jones-Drew's already committed. You have UCLA, who offered Damari Dean and Landon Miller, two of the top 28. Their head coach, Justin Allenbaugh, is a UCLA alum. Obviously, Maurice Jones-Drew is on staff there. But with Chase Young, I mean, when I was up at the Elite 11 regional, I was at De La Salle. Justin Allenbaugh said he had a great chat with Bob Chesney shortly after he was hired. and anticipates UCLA making a big push there. There's two other underclassmen there, Sam Tongaloa and Darian Asiasi. Both their older brothers played at UCLA. Could we see, with Deuce already committed, now this pursuit of Chase Young, could we see UCLA reestablishing a pipeline back to De La Salle High School?
Yeah, you know, it's definitely an interesting storyline to follow. And, you know, one thing Chesney has really done a good job of is, you know, bridging the past and, you know, the future. And he's definitely made a connection with some of these alums. And now obviously they, you know, they've got kids that are now recruits. So, you know, the staff has definitely got the potential to, you know, kind of reignite that pipeline there and really have a nice haul from that, that high school. So, but again, it all goes to Chesney and just the sheer effort, right. Go out, recruit, know, you know, some of the history of UCLA already, even in his short time. And yeah, it's just been pretty fascinating to watch.
I think you mentioned it, you know, effort. We saw how when you were at the Bosco in the modern day showcases that UCLA came in full force. Now we're in a dead period. We will not see coaches on the road. They're no longer on the road going to high schools for the rest of you won't see them at high schools until September. But camp season does start this coming weekend with college showcases. We anticipate seeing UCLA at a lot of those showcases out west, whether it's the Redlands Mega Camp, Sacramento State Camp, what have you. They'll be hosting their own camps, but these guys got on the road. I mean, even last week, after they hosted, what was it, 13 official visitors, they were on the road and offered a ton of 28s and 29s from the East Coast. You were able to touch base with a lot of those. How is that being received by guys nationally, seeing UCLA making an effort in states that really they haven't tried for a few years?
Yeah, you know, Maryland was a state that they just seemed to offer everybody. There was a defensive lineman out there. His name's escaping my memory right now just because they had so many of them. But, you know, just again, like you were saying, right, UCLA probably wouldn't have been an option before. But now, you know, they're on the radar and you know, they're potentially going to be, you know, getting some of these kids on their camps. They have two camps. I believe it's June 2nd and June 7th, I believe. In years past, they'd only do, you know, one day and then knock it all out. So it's interesting that they're doing two camps. There's also a 28 linebacker from Florida that I talked to, Cale Britt, who DM'd me out of the blue. I want to say like middle of the night, two or three days ago, and said, you know, he's got an unofficial scheduled for June 11th. And he already, you know, knows that he loves the West Coast and he's really interested to check out UCLA because of its lineage. So, yeah, they're definitely doing their homework. And, you know, as they're still trying to wrap up this 27 class, they're really starting to hit the 28 class pretty hard as far as figuring out who's on their board and who's going to, you know, move up and become a real contender for them.
And I think that's been something that, you know, I made a mention of it last week on the message board, that what is such a change is how many 29s that they're offering, but how many 2030s that they're offering. These are eighth graders. Now, again, we're in an era where offering an eighth grader is not as young as it seems because the double holdbacks, the single holdbacks, but guys that are much more mature than their grade may indicate. But, you know, and somebody raised a question is like, what's the point in offering? When does these become committable offers? I think it's when they become good enough to take an offer or to take a commitment from them because they are still in that, hey, we're offering you now, playing the long game here. Do we necessarily want you to commit right now? Absolutely not. But do we want you to, if you blow up in the next 3 years, to remember that we are one of the first ones to offer you? Absolutely. So it's a game within a game, which if you've been covering UCLA or following UCLA recruiting for the last 8 years, there was never a game being played within the game. There wasn't even a game period. And now you're seeing them being much more aggressive and understanding that you almost have to throw your hat in the ring now with 2030s just to get on their short list. at the same time, you're seeing a staff that didn't get in place really until late December, early January, and made up a ton of ground. So, you know, there is this thought, do you need to make these early offers 3 or 4 years out in advance when you can make up ground in 3 to 4 months? Or is it important to just continue to capitalize on the buzz and the momentum that you're getting with the commits to make these early offers? I tend to believe that, you know, there is no harm in offering guys younger. I understand that, you know, it's still a risky proposition because maybe they aren't good, but you don't have to take the commitment. But I think anytime you could have buzz, it reminds me of about 10 years ago, there was an elite prospect who was committed to an SEC school and a Mountain West school offered him. And I'm like, what? I texted the coach. I said, what are you offering him for? He's like, dude, we're not offering him because we think we're going to get him. We're offering him because we have two players at that position that haven't made a commitment yet. And if they see that we're offering him, we know he's not going to flip from the SEC school to us, but those two guys might freak out and say, oh no, they're moving on somebody else. We've got to get a commitment made. And sure enough, they ended up getting the commitment a few days later. But in his mind, it was, we're tweeting about this school. There's people are tweeting about it, and they're showing, they're conversing, and they're showing that there's some recruiting momentum. So if even that's the philosophy, it's such a change from what UCLA fans are used to. I tend to believe that it is a good short-term play.
Yeah, and you bring up, you know, the, you know, things like that getting attention and getting social media traction. If there's one thing this staff has done really well, it knows the power of social media, and it knows our roles, and, you know, the fact that, you know, we might be, because they offer somebody, you know, we'll probably be in contact and try to get a story out and then that sort of thing. That's all, you know, the staff just, again, putting in the effort, knowing how to play the game and understanding that it is a game on both sides. And yeah, it's just been really impressive to watch them just kind of take off, hit the ground running. And you know, right now it doesn't seem like there's any sign of slowing down.
No, and there really can't be, because you've got 5 visitors coming this weekend, but then you have the following weekend where you're back to double digits. You get a little bit of a week off on the 12th, but then you got the 19th. But more importantly, you know, there's only probably room for maybe 6 to 7 more commits at this point. And I wouldn't say that there's anybody in particular that isn't committed that they are a heavy lean for, but you know, this is, for lack of a better term, this is nut crunching season. This is where you have to finalize any plans that you have with these recruits and trying to get them on board, try to get them to be a part of your class. So while, you know, there isn't maybe a large amount of visitors coming this weekend, you're still having to keep track and babysit your commits or the guys that you're targeting with and tracking what they're doing and what they're experiencing on visits to other schools, because there's a number of schools that are really ramping up their official visits this week. And now that it's not a holiday weekend. So again, it's not even just paying attention to the recruits that you have visiting, it's paying attention to the recruits that you're targeting that are visiting elsewhere, in hopes that when you have 12 players coming in on June 19th, and you know, with only a few of those guys being commits, Juju Johnson is a commit right now, Montana Toilolo, Kiko Farinas, Deuce Jones-Drew, Mike Davis. So 5 of the 12 visitors expected that weekend are commits. That means there's 7 guys, though, that you're hoping you still get to the finish line to come in and visit that weekend. So a lot of work still being done by these coaches, a lot of work still being done by the personnel, by the recruiting department. You know, I think the best way to close this is with the 5 visitors coming this weekend. Obviously, you already have a commitment from Rob Larson, but any of these 4 other uncommitted visitors coming in that you think that UCLA could be on commitment watch, as they were with Trey Hopkins 2 weeks ago?
One I'm really interested to keep an eye on is offensive tackle Weston Hicks, and our publisher Tracy Pearson, you know, did a really good story, if you haven't looked at it, within the last day, you know, kind of looking at their remaining offensive tackle targets and how it's, you know, a position of need when you look at who some of their commits are and where they still have some holes in this class that they'd want to fill. And, you know, it'll be Weston's first trip out to LA. He was offered back in February. Chesney Kennedy, Dean Kennedy and Chris Smith, the offensive line coach, they're all, you know, heavily involved, is what he told me, as far as being in communication. He's from Tennessee originally. So it'll just be interesting for somebody like that who will get their first taste of the West Coast. And if it's anything like that first official visit weekend, and you know, they can kind of maybe wow them with some of the things that the area has to offer, it'll be interesting to see what he ends up doing, because right now he's got Virginia Tech and TCU scheduled after UCLA, and he doesn't have anything scheduled for June 19th to the 21st, that final official visit weekend. So it looks like it's just down to those three schools. So he'll be one I'll definitely be keeping my eye on right now.
All right. Well, busy weekend with the Elite 11 finals coming this week. Thursday night, you still will know where Dane Weber is going to go. Either way, Tracy, I know you'll be at the Elite 11 finals this weekend. I'll be there as well. We're either going to be covering a new UCLA commit in Dane Weber or covering two potential UCLA targets in, well, not potential. They are definitely going to be targets regardless of what happens on Thursday in Brady Edmonds and Colton Nussmeier, but plenty more. We will be back next week to recap the Elite 11, discuss quarterback recruiting, and then discuss the visitors that were there before we preview the following weekend. But Tracy Pearson and Dave Woods will be back on Friday to dive in more on the football and basketball beat and baseball as they begin the regionals, and softball as they begin the World Series. So a lot of time. Make sure you guys are logged in to Bruin Report Online. Get the special deal that's being offered for subscribers right now, and we will see you all next week.